Jesús.
So we pour out our praise to you, only to
your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. One more time. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. 'Cause it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour.
Happy Wednesday to everybody at home viewing us online tonight at Calvary Gospel Church. We welcome you all to stand wherever you're at, in your living room, in your cars, if you can stand in your cars, wherever it is, just like if we were at church. Can you just stand with us as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight? We want to pray especially for Sarah George. I'm sorry, Sister George. She has an allergy, and she's been in and out of the hospital, and come to find out she's allergic to bacon, which is a travesty in and of itself, but it happened to be smoked bacon, so the smoke stuff that's in the bacon has put her in the hospital, so we want to continue to pray for her. We want to remember Ty. He's having some issues with his hands. He works with his hands every day, and we just want to remember him in prayer tonight. And if you have a prayer request that you would like the Lord to answer tonight, would you just lift your hands wherever you are, all across Dane County, or wherever it is you are watching from tonight? Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you'll touch every household, every single person, every single church member, every single member of the family of God tonight, Lord God. We ask you to go wherever Sister George is right now, Lord Jesus, and you'll take away this allergic reaction, Lord God. We ask you, God, to touch her, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch Ty with his hands that are becoming numb, Lord God, that you would bless him, Lord God, and bless his work, Lord Jesus. We ask you, God, that you'll touch all of those who have struggled with sickness and also this disease of COVID-19 and all of those requests that are coming through our prayer chains and our prayer groups on Facebook, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, wherever they are and how whatever's going on, Lord God, that you'll step into the situation, God, and help them. We ask this all together in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a few announcements this Wednesday night. We want to remind everybody that you know what? I got ahead of myself. Let's go back to the giving options. Can you put that slide on the screen? I have a little note on here to make sure that I read this off. So I want you to know that there are a couple of giving options. You can mail it your tithes and offerings in to 5301 Commercial Avenue here in Madison, right to the church. Just address it to the church and make sure you put your name in there, and probably not send cash, but so that we know where it came from and what happened. You can also go to cgcmadison.org and click on the giving link or give link. You can also text to give at 608-719-3883, and you would have to text the word tithe or offerings for that to work, and that'll also help you get set up online if you haven't done so. And so we thank you all for your continued giving and support of Calvary Gospel Church in this COVID-19 crisis. We thank you for supporting us and supporting the mission of Jesus Christ in Dane County. Now, some announcements that are happening this week. We want to remind everyone that there's a community drive-in movie night tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock. It really starts about 8:20-ish. We found that folks are really enjoying this time of waving to each other from their cars or seeing friends they haven't seen in a few weeks. So it's become a little bit more of a fellowship than just a movie night, but we do encourage you to come. Now, we do follow the social distancing rules while we're here, and hopefully those will be lifted very soon. But for now, we'll be just here following the social distancing rules, so we'd ask everyone to please be respectful of those. We'll be watching Facing the Giants. All right. So we also would like to have you continue to join us online for worship and the Word on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We have noticed a little bit of a fall off with attendance, and we would encourage you to not get, tired, I guess, of having to just watch it online. I know that you'd rather be here, but it's important that we stay connected in every way that we can, especially online in these times that we are separated from each other. Now, at this time, I'd like to bring your attention to the Word of the Lord. Sister Jess, I'm not going to read a scripture just to start off. I'll just get to that in just a moment. I was led by the Lord when I was asked to preach tonight. I was going, how I normally would. I start to question. I send some questions up to before the throne of God, and I ask God, what is it, Lord, that you'd have me to speak to the people on this night? And it was almost before I could even really get the prayer out of my mind and out of my heart that God was leading me in a way that I haven't been led. Usually he shows me a beginning scripture or reminds me of a story, but literally in this moment when I prayed, God was directing my feet to go down into our basement area of our house. And I thought it was very odd, so I went down there, and the only thing that was in my heart was an old sermon. When I say old sermon, I mean literally that's all I knew was an old sermon. I couldn't understand. That's not normally how the Lord deals with me. But as I was walking through, I remembered sticking a sermon in a window seal. I know that sounds weird, but last year we had a flood in our basement, and one of my boxes of a lot of my Bible school notes got wet. And when it got wet, I was really frustrated, but I pulled a bunch of things out that I thought were important. I threw a lot of things away, and this sermon was stuck in the windowsill to dry in the sunlight. And I pulled this out, and so tonight, if you were here to be able to see this, it's all faded and looks kind of weird, and I cut the corners off because it had a little bit of black, yucky-looking stuff on it. So I never thought that I'd be preaching the sermon. I just wanted to keep a hold of it because this is something I preached probably almost 20 years ago. And so tonight I would like to preach this message to you called Battlefield of the Mind. We all have some certain struggles. We all deal with certain things. We all have a lot of things that we would call struggles and different thoughts that happen to us. But I was never more reminded of the things that God has brought me through and the things that I have been through in the last 5 years than I was with my wife. When we were in our laundry room beside our washer and dryer, there's a filing cabinet. And the filing cabinet is basically, when we get done with some paperwork that's pertinent, we usually stick it in the file cabinet. Well, the file cabinet had gotten so full of paperwork that it would not open and close very well anymore. So me and my wife, we decided that we would get into the file cabinet and we would start to sort through some of the papers and throw some stuff that wasn't no longer pertinent away and kind of, downsize the paperwork a little bit. And I was also looking for something that was important that was from about 5 years ago. And so as I was going through the paperwork, we were throwing things away and we kept looking at certain pieces of paper, certain bills, certain things that had occurred, certain blessings of God. And I remember looking at my wife and I'm like, man, this is just a big box of miracles. It's like, what in the world? It's like, how come I can't remember all of these things that occurred one after another, after another, after another? It was like one blessing after one miracle after a massive deliverance of craziness. It was just amazing how many times that I looked down and I thought, wow, that's what God did. But in the midst of all of that, I was also reminded of all of the things that I thought in the process of those trials and tribulations, the thoughts that occurred to me before I knew what God was going to do or what he did, all of those things that were coming into my mind, I remembered them. And I know that you all have stories of various degrees of those moments in time when we scream out to God, "What is going on? God, why this? Why now? Don't you know that I love you?" We've all had those times in our lives whenever we were up against a battle and we didn't know what was going on. And so tonight I would like to ask you, you know, I'd like to maybe just have a conversation with you. If you could pretend that I was in your living room or at your dining room table, sitting across from you, together with you. I'd ask the question, why do you think that we yo-yo up and down? Why do you think it is that sometimes we vacillate from, oh, God's awesome, oh, no, what's going to happen, you know, and our mind goes back and forth so crazily from victory to nearly defeat, but then we find out later it wasn't necessarily a defeat in the reality God was working, but in our mind, we had already defeated ourselves. I look at God sometimes and say, you know, I paid my tithes, but I feel like that this thing that I'm up against right now is attacking my finances, you know. And so maybe tonight you feel a little bit dry spiritually speaking, and maybe that's the struggle. And you're asking God, where are you right now in the middle of the circumstances that we're all dealing with? Maybe you're struggling with your job situation. Maybe you're struggling with not being here together with us at church. Maybe you're struggling for something that nobody knows about, only you, and it's just something internal. Well, tonight I'd like to direct your attention to a few scriptures. You know, our mind is constantly at war with an unseen enemy. Constantly. And that's why I titled this message, Battlefield of the Mind. I'm inviting all who are listening to take a bit of time and review the questions that you have been running through your mind lately. Questions. I'm going to focus a lot tonight about the questions that occur. Maybe you don't even realize that they are questions, but maybe the thought that comes into your mind is like something that would start a conversation that would question something that you know is absolutely true or absolutely right. Maybe it'd question someone's motives or question someone's character, or maybe it'd question your integrity, or maybe it'd question your faith. But questions is what I'd like to focus on tonight. How do you think that you came up with all of those questions? I hear an F-16 flying overhead. I didn't know what that was for a moment, but it just dawned on me. So that you know, if you were here at church tonight, an F-16 joined us tonight for service. But where do you think you came up with all of those questions? And were they questions of the heart? Were they questions of the mind? Were they questions of the soul? Were they questions that came from God? Or were they other types of questions that come from your flesh or maybe even Satan himself? Were these questions, did they come with a good motive, or did they have a motive to try to distract and dismay and discourage you? Let me ask you for a moment to examine yourself. Why do you keep asking yourselves these questions? This is what I have to ask. I always ask myself whenever these questions come and I start going down the path of the bad answers and the questions that are entertained in my mind, I always have to eventually ask, where did I come up with that? Some, no doubt, are from the flesh to combat the spiritual man. It's like our old taskmaster versus our new teacher or God who's come to teach us the new way, the way of faith. It's like the old flesh has come to make war with the spirit. Did you ever stop to realize how many questions the devil asks you, though? I know that's a strange statement, but the devil likes to work with the question mark. How many of those questions do you think you answer? See, he's not so much interested in all of your positive responses, but he's waiting for the moment that he asks that 1 out of 100 question that you answer with a negative response, because he wants to use that to his advantage. I'd like to turn your attention to Luke 12:28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye that what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. We always focus on all of what God's going to supply and how he's going to do this and that with the grass of the field and the birds of the air, but very seldom do I hear anyone ever talk about when Jesus said, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Doubt can take you out faster than anything. Doubt is an emotion that is a question and an emotion that comes against your faith like nothing else. I don't know, maybe you've been doubting lately. Maybe you've been doubting if this COVID-19 thing's ever going to stop. Or maybe you're on the other side of the fence and you're doubting if the government's ever going to let us out. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle and you don't know what to do. But maybe you just have doubts and questions. And I would just like to talk about those questions a little more tonight. There's another scripture here says in Romans 7:21, I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version, says, the law has shown me that something in me keeps me from doing what I know is right. With my whole heart, I agree with the laws of God, but in every part of me, I discover something fighting against my mind, and it makes me a prisoner of sin that controls everything I do. What a miserable person I am. That's what questions do. They make you miserable. Who will rescue me from this body that is doomed to die? Thank God Jesus Christ will rescue me so that with my mind I serve the law of God, although my selfish desires make me to serve the law of sin. But in every part of me I discovered something warring against my members, fighting against my mind. Does this sound familiar tonight? The Message Bible in Romans 8:6 says, obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious and free life. And focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. I love that version of the scripture, Romans 8:6. You do realize that people that talk to themselves are really a bit self-centered, right? Sometimes I find myself, when I'm working on a car, saying things to myself that I wouldn't normally say when things aren't going my way. And it happens with everyone, with the frustrations that are occurring in your life. Maybe the thoughts come to mind that almost become words. And heaven forbid, sometimes the things that we think become words, because then our words become actions. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against every principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You do realize that we are in a battle. And the battle is always happening right between our ears. It's a battlefield of the mind. 5 million microscopic electrical pulses are sent and received in our mind every second. The brain is one of the greatest wonders of the world, a wonder completely and wholly made of flesh. Can you trust it? Scripture says that you can. You know we all face fears. Maybe you want to think for a second, what are your fears? Oftentimes our fears are manifested based on something you've heard or something that you've witnessed or something that you think could happen, but very rarely are fears based on something that has occurred. And if something has occurred, your fears are deeper and they're harsher and they hurt you more. You see, our human side of us, our non-spiritual side, really has two options, fight or flight, whenever we're up against a struggle, up against a fight. We're either going to run away or we're going to fight. But, you know, Jesus, he said, whenever you're up against a fight, to turn the other cheek. And he also said that you know, there's never really a great time to run away, but just to stand your ground and to just speak your truth. Jesus was never passive in any way. He was always right there, willing to answer whatever questions came his way. But our own flesh will cause us, our own mind will cause us to fight when it's time to pray. Our own flesh will cause us to run away when it's time to stand up and be strong and do what God has called us to do. We all face fears. We all dread the pain. We all dread physical pain, emotional pain. We all dread fear of rejection and fear of being alone. But Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I hate to break it to you, but most of our life is lived in this valley. The valley is the place of the battlefield. Now, I don't want to give the devil more credit than is due, but we need to know what we are up against. He is not as big and as bad as some might think. In fact, compared to God's army, the evil kingdom is weak and it's poor. His only attack is on our communication systems of the church. He goes straight for our communication and our communion with God. And then he'll go after our communication and our communion with fellow saints. He did it in the garden with Eve and Adam. He had them so afraid of what was about to happen, they were hidden behind trees and trying to cover up everything. And they were wanting to separate themselves from God. That was just the normal fight or flight. They flew. They left. Since his weapons, since the devil's weapons are only lies and distractions and deceptions, he has only one way to win his fight, and that is to get us to kill ourselves off through friendly fire, disunity, and suicidal spiritual actions. His ideas are executed in fine detail. First, he wants to divide and conquer. Second, he wants to kill off the weakest forces first, and the way that you become weak is to separate yourself from God and the Spirit of God. He wants to irritate the forces that are large, or too large and too strong for him to handle. He just wants to irritate them, to poke at them, and to get them frustrated, to get them angry. And then if he gets the opportunity, to divide and conquer again. He wants to corrupt our communication in any which way that he can. He wants to infest our minds so that the things that are coming out of our mouth are not godly, but somehow that they have run into the negative or the angry course of action. He wants to spread propaganda to stop our growths. Any which way that he thinks he can do that, he will work on it. He'll get us to believe things that are just simply not true or just made up or just pulled out of a hat somewhere. Questions that got answered with fleshly answers and not necessarily answers of faith. He wants to create confusion until we are. He's able to eliminate us. If we're confused enough, it'll be like the Tower of Babel, where we're all just standing there and we walk away from each other because we can no longer work together because of the confusion. And lastly, in any way possible, he wants to discourage all the forces of God. That's what he does. That's how he works. And his methods are not new. That's the way he's always been. All of these are done simply by manipulation and lies through the fallibility of the human mind. After communication is cut off from the Spirit, which is Jesus Christ, we are left to our own thought process, our out of knowledge of good and evil. We then make our choices. Please note that you cannot survive for long in this type of battle. You will die spiritually. You must be in contact with the Spirit of God because our enemies are spiritual and not carnal as we are. We are left in total darkness when we separate ourselves from God and unable to discern our enemy's presence. And that is not a place that you want to be. The Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And it also says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding. We live by faith and not by sight. We fight by faith and not by sight. Our understanding our fleshly understanding has the propensity to kill us. That is what is holding some of us back, is that every time we come into a battle, we don't turn to God, we turn to our thoughts, our own ways of doing things. And not many people can look at the end, from the end of their life to the beginning, and look at their carnal thoughts and think, that's what got me ahead. But most of us as Christians, we look at the times when God gave us some supernatural leading, some supernatural guidance through the Holy Ghost, and led us through the battlefield with our eyes closed, but our hand in Jesus' hand. He's the only one who knows how to get us through. We think we have it all figured out. We think we can know what is going on around us with our physical eyes and our physical ears. We think our plans are what God needs. We think because we are spiritual sometimes that we can trust our own thoughts. We think by what we can see and what we can hear and what we can feel that we are somehow authorized by our own understanding to make God-sized judgment calls, but it's simply not true. We need to lean on the Lord. Amen. To do any of those types of things is simply spiritual suicide. You might not realize what you're getting yourself into, but it doesn't take two or three of the wrong decisions in a row and you're down a path that you never wanted to be down. Spiritual discernment suddenly becomes a cognitive process and we lose sight of God in the process. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. It's a God thing, and you can't really rationalize God things. But those who have received the Holy Ghost and have been filled with His Spirit, they know that the moment, you just remember the night that you got the Holy Ghost and you were filled with God's presence. You remember that when you open your eyes after crying and worshiping the Lord, that all of a sudden, everything looked different. Everything sounded different. Everything felt different. That's because God was in you and He was leading you in a spiritual way. And you remember those moments. If you're like me, you can remember those moments that have happened time and time again in prayer and in worship where God changed your mind and gave you the mind of Christ. Amen. It's a God thing. You can't rationalize it. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We know the enemy, but in order to win this fight, we really need to know God more. We can study the enemy all day long, and in regular warfare, that's how you win the battle. You study your enemy. But in spiritual warfare, you don't study the enemy. You study the victor. And the only victor is Jesus Christ. We have a safe haven in Christ. We must embrace His ways and His image and His will to win the battle. Conservation of our strength is the destruction of the enemy's strength. You see, by survival alone, we win by default because Christ has already won every single battle, every single war. But if we step out from underneath Jesus' protection and we try to fight the battles in our own flesh, we're destined to lose. The demoniac, full of 2,000 devils, was out of his mind, literally. But after he worshiped God, he was clothed and in his right mind. We as he have no other option. We must find ourselves at the feet of Jesus to beat. This one man faced 2,000 devils with Jesus. One man against 2,000 was able to win with Jesus on his side. The weapons of our warfare are not bombs and gun. The scripture, the song says, "Worship is the way that the battle is won." And so, how many times have you found this to be true? Now, sometimes we get a little bit. I guess we're a little spoiled sometimes that we get to come to church and everyone puts on the worship band and everything's happening. We can come in sometimes with a terrible attitude and a wrong spirit, not expecting to do much for God, and all of a sudden, because someone else is going to the throne, they invite us along for the journey, and we find ourselves at the end of the service with a different mindset and a winning attitude suddenly. It's a little tougher now that we're at home alone, or we're at work alone, and we haven't seen too many other Christians around. Maybe the flaws in your lifestyle might be more apparent now, that maybe you need to spend a little bit more time at the feet of Jesus yourself. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. If you read through his texts and scriptures and prophecies, he asked 194 questions throughout his recorded writings. No wonder he wept so much. At this awful time, in this awful book, in an awful chapter, we find God's answer to all of the questions in one statement. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me with all your hearts." His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are better than our ways. And he is the answer to every question. Amen. So, what should you do with this moment that we have together, even though we're sharing it through the internet? If I had the ability to coach you a little bit, I would tell you to take control of your thoughts, to try to endeavor to live in God's design, and to destroy the enemy with the omnipotent weapons of warfare, spiritually speaking, and that is through the Holy Ghost, that omnipotent power of God. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And maybe the questions in your mind have become a stronghold in your life. Let's pull down those questions tonight. We all have stories. And when you get hurt, you like to repeat your story. Sometimes that can lead us down the wrong path of telling how we've been hurt, or how things have not gone our way, or how we want to see it a different way, or our opinions. But tonight I'd just like to turn your attention to a story in Scripture. And that story is found in Luke chapter 7, verse number 36. I'm going to read that story to you tonight as we close out. Sister Cecily could get ready to come to the keys. We have a few extra minutes tonight to worship together, no matter where we are. If you would just mentally prepare yourself to praise the Lord and to pray in your homes or your car or at work. After I read this story, I'll talk for just a moment, but then we'll have our own altar call, wherever it is that we find ourselves. Luke chapter 7, verse number 36, and it says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him." That's the flesh. That's a question of the flesh. "For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And Jesus gave a parable. He said, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of these will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he that whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. This woman, I entered. Oh, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgives sins also? Again, a question of the flesh. And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Would you like to go in peace tonight? Would you like to leave your story behind you? Would you like to leave all of those questions that you have behind? All she did was get in contact with Jesus Christ. I feel like our file cabinet in our laundry room was kind of like her sins, all filed away, stacked in there so tight that the door would not have been closed. All of these things against her. And in one moment, God opened the drawers and started dumping out the garbage and solving all the problems and answering every question. But worship is the only way that that can be accomplished. At the feet of Jesus, we can have a right mind. We can come out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we can be delivered from anything, from any bondage, from any lie, from any deception, from any weapon, from any battlefield. God can deliver us where we are tonight. In the name of Jesus. Cecily, would you like to just sing? Would you, wherever you are, just worship the Lord in your homes together? This will be the end of our service. We hope to see you tomorrow night at the movie night and Sunday morning online. God bless you all tonight. These bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.